This is Table Talk with former California State Fire Marshal Ronnie J. Coleman and your host, Michael Williams.
Hello, welcome to Table Talk with former California State Fire Marshal Ronnie J. Coleman and your host, Michael Williams. Today we're talking about the badge, an article that originally published in March of 1991 in the Chief magazine. Chief, welcome to Table Talk.
Well, as usual, it's really nice to be somewhere.
You say here the badge is a symbol that carries several hundred years of heritage and obligation. Unfortunately, many people have lost sight of this. What did you mean by that? What got you into the writing about the badge, the image of the badge?
That's a good question because, literally speaking, I wrote the column, at least initially, because I had a big badge collection. I started collecting them as a young firefighter. Like, let's face it, most everybody in the fire service collects something, either toy fire trucks or fire helmets. And I started collecting badges and got to having conversations with people about why we wear them and what type they are and what is the symbology associated with it. And so I started doing research, and that research led to some very interesting stories that I learned. And I began to equate those stories to the evolution of how we think of ourselves as symbols of authority. Let's face it, a firefighter and a police officer are two of the most probably visible badge carriers in our society. I mean, you see a lot of people wearing badges these days. You know, transit policeman or something like that has a badge. But the fire service and law enforcement seem to share some common threads that link back to the concept of being a paramilitary organization. So I started doing the research, and that's why I wrote the article.
Now, this is your most requested article of all of the hundreds of articles you've written, correct?
I've received more requests to reproduce it than any other single column I've ever written.
And why do you think that is?
Well, I think that the story is appealing. I think some people find it interesting. I've actually given this speech a couple of times at recruit graduations and had firefighters walk up to me afterwards and say, I've been a fireman for 30 years. I didn't know that. And it's part of our heritage. It's part of our legacy. It's part of the symbology. And I think it's important that we know it.
Well, I know in law enforcement, it's the same way. In fact, I think in some ways the badge is more fraternal in the law enforcement than it is in the fire service. When I think of the fire service, I think of the leather shield on the helmet and the medallion that goes with that. And that's what everyone is kind of striving for, is the symbol, if you will, of achievement of having gotten through the basic training process. The badge represents the authority. It also represents the position in our society that we put people up to and say, okay, this person is a step above us. We're holding them to a higher value and a higher standard, I think.
Or there's also some very negative aspects. You ever hear the term badge heavy?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody who uses too much authority under the wrong set of circumstances.
Well, that goes into the hiring process, too. Mm-hmm. Some of that can get screened out in the hiring process. I think one of the issues we have today with the speed of light information that's out there and the fact that people can see what everyone else is doing instantaneously is that the term tarnishing the badge that comes to mind, in that it's very easy to bring disfavor, if you will, upon yourself, upon your profession, upon the badge. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, that's kind of one of the reasons why I did some of the research to find out where it started. The idea behind badges started as far back as the Roman Empire. In 64 AD, when Augustus created the Band of Vigiles, they had certain symbols of authority that were carried on their shields. And what I mean by shields in this case is not a metal shield. I'm talking about a real shield. Right. It was the size of that you actually carried it. Now, the interesting thing is, kind of sharing a little bit of the evolution of things, is that most people were right-handed. So all shields were carried on your left arm. That's why we wear the badge on the left breast eventually. And these kinds of linkages, it started off that originally the shield was a symbol of who they were. The Roman vigils fought fire actually as a form of institutionalized fire brigade. If you go to Pompeii, where the city of Pompeii was destroyed, one of the buildings they recovered there was a firehouse. that still had inscriptions and everything on it of Semper Vigilans, which means always vigilant. Was the theme of the volunteer. Well, how this kind of continued to evolve, as we went down through history, the military was the organizational structure for community public safety. Both police and fire have their both have their roots there. The next big case, though, that really made the case for symbology in the fire service was the Crusades. There were two orders of knights that went in the Crusades that had specific symbols that are resurrected today. One of them was the Order of the Knights of Malta, the Maltese Cross. The other was the Order of the Knights of St. John, which is the Red Cross. Both of those knight organizations didn't go into combat to kill anybody. They went into combat to be ambulance bearers and to do everything they could to keep people from dying. The Order of St. John was the Hospital of Tears, and their job was to pick up victims off the battlefield and carry them off. So you see, the badge at one point in time really was a real, true shield. And it was a symbol of mercy in this particular case. They didn't have weapons. They used the Order of the Knights of Malta and the Order of the Knights of St. John were those two symbols. Then when we fell into the Dark Ages and a lot of things started disappearing, a lot of institutions disappeared, knighthood fell out of class, et cetera, during the Middle Ages, what was preserved were the two symbols, the Maltese Cross and the Red Cross. So as we moved forward with the development of modern and contemporary responses, when we created these badges, the ones we wear on our chest today, are small miniaturizations of that same concept. What you've got there is a symbol of authority that has shrunken in size and increased in responsibility.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but the badge in the fire service actually becoming a uniform ornament, if you will, didn't really occur until somewhat after the Civil War. Because ours in our modern-day fire service uniform and terminology of rank structure and formality based on the Civil War and the Union soldiers?
Well, I'm not going to say that it was linked directly to the Civil War regarding badges, but I would characterize that between, oh, let's say, 1700s and the 1800s, everybody remembers Ben Franklin, mm-hmm. When he created his fire company, there were symbols that in those days, many cases, they were panels that were worn on the front of their uniform. That whole panel was about the size of a breast coat or something. What came out of the Civil War was the idea of rank. Before the Civil War, we didn't really call people captain and battalion chief and lieutenant. A lot of the ranks in the volunteer fire service were given titles like foreman and chief engineer, you know, things of that nature. What emerged out of the Civil War was the idea that we were organized along paramilitary ranks. A good example, and those of you out there that have a chance to visit the National Fire Academy, you may want to go over to Excelsior Field in Gettysburg, and you will see a statue there that shows a fireman and a military infantryman standing next to one another. If you look closely, you see they're actually holding hands. And what it said was that this was recognition of how many firefighters died in the Civil War as a result of committing themselves to protecting their communities against war. The kind of the theme was firefighters in peace, soldiers in war. Interesting little anecdote about that is most people don't realize that that statue is actually based on two twin brothers that were both in the military and had fire service experience. One of them was killed at Chancellorsville, and one was killed at Gettysburg. That's the 73rd Infantry Regiment, which consisted predominantly of firefighters. So as we moved forward after the Civil War, the idea of the badge kind of started becoming more popular. The term captain was introduced to the fire service. The use of the twin bars, which meant captain, a single bar meaning a cap, et cetera, started becoming more institutionalized. Well, here we are in 2013. You know, not many of us really have been fixing bayonets lately.
No.
But many of us are still carrying the shoulder patches, which is kind of a symbol of the shield that used to be on the front of the uniform, or wearing badges, which is the symbol of authority.
As we've evolved forward and the criteria of formality seems to have grown in the fire service, the uniformity of it all and what have you, and continuity of service, and the firefighters pretty much look all the same now. That's really kind of a marketing thing. It's how the fire service has become identified to the community.
The word I would use is branding. Mm-hmm. We have branded the fire service. We were talking with a PIO. One of the questions I asked the PIO is, when you go on television, do you wear your helmet or not? And he said, I always wear my helmet.
Of course.
I said, why? Well, because everybody recognizes that helmet for what it is. I call them symbols or promises. I wrote a column to that effect many, many years ago, and it said, a symbol is a promise. If you see a firefighter's helmet, you have a right to expect a certain kind of behavior. If you see a firefighter's badge, you expect a certain kind of behavior. It may not always be manifested, because maybe that person's not as good a person as you'd like them to be. But on the other hand, 99% of the time, people respond to that symbol of authority. I have actually watched, and this has occurred on events that I've personally been involved with, where the arrival of a single firefighter calms an entire group of people down. Somebody's here that knows what they're doing.
You know, I had an interesting experience several years ago in Sacramento. I was with a fire chief who was retired from the Navy. He was a chief in the Navy, and he had his Class A fire chief's uniform on, and we were walking to the Capitol for a business meeting, and there were some homeless people. We came across three or four different encampments of homeless people, and at each one there was somebody that said, hello, Captain, sir. And we were walking to the Capitol afterward, and he says, why is everybody calling me Captain? I'm in a fire uniform. And it looked like a fire, but it also looked like a
Navy captain.
Navy captain's. Mm-hmm. And because he had his hat on and everything, he's Class A. And I said, it's not your uniform. It's how you're wearing uniform and how you're walking in your uniform. These guys obviously are veterans, and they see you as a captain, not as a firefighter. It's how you present yourself that makes a big... So it's not just the uniform, which goes into some of the other articles that you've written about, you got to walk the walk and talk the talk at the same time.
One of the other terms I like to discuss kind of in an abstract way is a concept called command presence.
Yes.
And what command presence is a very poorly defined thing that when you see it, you recognize it immediately. And if you don't see it, you recognize its absence immediately.
Well, it's like the police chief or the fire chief or the business executive that walks into a large room of people. He stands out in the crowd. The same thing with the politician, for example, who has charisma. That's what got him elected, was the charisma more than anything else. I'm not so sure how well charisma works in the public safety world, but it certainly doesn't hurt you.
I remember going on a structure fire one day where our fire chief was actually at the scene. He was dressed in civilian clothing and was actually in command of the fire. And there was a whole bunch of rowdiness going on, and there were some problems that occurred. And I was a battalion chief at the time. And I come rolling into the scene, code 3, and I jumped out of my car, and the crowd broke into cheers. The chief's finally here. Now something's going to happen. And my chief was instantly angry. but I walked over to him and said, I'm sorry, chief. Didn't mean to rain on your parade. And he said, well, it's my fault. He said, I'm not in uniform. And the reason that I bring that up is, let's go back to the concept of the badge. Is one of the things that I think is really critical for us to recognize in our profession is that the badge is a promise to our community. It means that it stands for something. We don't ever want to taint that badge. We've talked in this series about reputation management. Well, that's what we're talking about here.
Well, and it's the token of your oath.
Right.
Oath of office. You were talking about being a battalion chief, and the chief was finally here. It's an interesting phenomenon that occurred back east in the fire department, where the rank and file took great exception to the fact that their fire chief had not assumed command at a large incident. And yet the incident command system is designed in such a way that the fire chief himself or herself doesn't necessarily have to be in command. Just because you run the organization doesn't mean you have to command the incident. That's kind of a transitional change also that's occurred primarily because of ICS, but that plays into this also, that the badge can transcend your authority as from your individual assignment.
It also places more emphasis on the all-risk phenomena. You know, one time we used to go to fires and not much else. Today we go to just about everything that happens in our community that is anything short of shots being fired.
Mm-hmm.
The concept of risk management and the concept of all-risk response is placing more and more of a burden on those people who choose to carry a badge.
Well, certainly we could understand where there's going to be people that are extremely proficient at running, say, a wildfire versus running a high-rise structure fire or a hazmat incident or something. And that's the nice thing about the incident command system. It allows you to adapt to those kinds of things. People that are very good in planning and logistics and communications, but not necessarily the guy you want running an operations shift. You know, there's...
I think the bottom line I'd like to bring up to this discussion about the badge is this obligation that when you swear an oath of office to wear that badge, it means more than a handshake. It really does mean a lot more to the community than people might give it credit for. I think there's a tendency sometimes for us to kind of gloss that over. Badge pinning ceremonies are not exercised in all fire agencies. My personal belief is the pinning of a badge on an individual is a ceremonial pronouncement of performance, and that is something that ought to be given much higher value than it currently is.
Well, certainly because the symbolism that it represents, it needs to have that. Otherwise, people don't respect it, and that starts to impact in other areas that we've talked about on this program, Table Talk. Well, with that, we're to the end of our segment here. Any closing thoughts?
Can't think of anything to say other than the fact that we stand on the shoulders of giants, that we're allowed to wear a small badge, but it weighs just as heavy as the shield carried into the field of combat by a knight of the Crusades.
Well, with that thought, I'd like to add Admiral William Halsey's comment. There aren't great men. There are just great challenges that ordinary men like you and me are forced by circumstances to meet. And, of course, Admiral Halsey, United States Navy. With that, we conclude Table Talk with Ronnie J. Coleman and your host, Mike Williams. Until next time, let's be safe out there.
This has been Table Talk with Ronald J. Coleman and Michael S. Williams, produced and distributed by the Fire Services Training Institute. Production assistance by Mark A. Ward. Special thanks to Chief Michael Dyer and the Santa Barbara County Fire Department. Remember, train like your life depends on it. Because it does.
Table Talk programming is intended for personal and organizational use only. Any duplication or commercial use is prohibited.